One of the oldest religions in the world is Jainism, or traditionally known as Jain Dharma. Originating from ancient India, this philosophy centers around concepts such as right perception, right knowledge, and right conduct in the attainment of moksha, or realization of the soul's true nature. The concept of ahimsa, or non-violence, is of equally great importance. Thus, with compassion for all life, practitioners of Jainism follow a pure vegetarian or vegan diet. Jains follow the ancient wisdom of the 24 Tirthankaras, or prophets, whose teachings comprise the Agam Sutras, the religion's holy scriptures. Lord Mahavira, who is considered to be the last Tirthankara, was born around the 5th to the 6th century BCE, as a prince of the ancient kingdom of Vaishali. He later forsook his royal status to pursue the spiritual path. After attaining Kevaljnan, or all-knowing intuitive vision, he spent the rest of his life giving discourses on spiritual truths, which form the present-day tenets of Jainism. We present to you today excerpts of the second and third lectures from the first book of Jainism's Akaranga Sutra, entitled Conquest of the World and Hot and Cold. Conquest of the World. First Lesson. Quality is the seat of the root, and the seat of the root is quality. He who longs for the qualities is overcome by great pain, and he is careless, for he thinks, I have to provide for a mother, for a father, for a sister, for a wife, for sons, for daughters, for a daughter-in-law, for my friends, for near and remote relations, for my acquaintances, for different kinds of property, profit, meals, and clothes. Longing for these objects, people are careless, suffer day and night, work in the right and the wrong time, desire wealth and treasures, commit injuries and violent acts, direct the mind again and again upon these injurious doings.
Doing so, the life of some mortals, which by destiny would have been long, is shortened. For when the deterioration of the perceptions of the ear, eye, organs of smelling, tasting, touching, a man becomes aware of the decline of life, they after a time produce dotage, or his kinsmen with whom he lives together will after a time first grumble at him, and he will afterwards grumble at them. They cannot help thee or protect thee, nor canst thou help them or protect them.
He is not fit for hilarity, playing, pleasure, show. Therefore, proceeding to pilgrimage and thinking that the present moment is favorable for such intentions, he should be steadfast and not even for an hour carelessly conduct himself. His youth, his age, his life fade away. A man who carelessly conducts himself, who killing, cutting, striking, destroying, chasing away, frightening living beings, resolves to do what has not been done by anyone. Him, his relations with whom he lived together, will first cherish, and he will afterwards cherish them. But they cannot help thee or protect thee, nor canst thou help them or protect them.
Or he heaps up treasures for the benefit of some spendthrifts by pinching himself. Then, after a time, he falls in sickness. Those with whom he lives together will first leave him, and he will afterwards leave them. They cannot help thee or protect thee, nor canst thou help them or protect them.
Knowing pain and pleasure in all their variety, and seeing his life not yet decline, a wise man should know that to be the proper moment for entering a religious life. While the perceptions of his ear, eye, organs of smelling, tasting, touching are not yet deteriorated, man should prosecute the real end of his soul. Thus I say.
Second lesson. A wise man should remove any aversion to control he will be liberated in the proper time. Some, following wrong instruction, turn away from control. They are dull, wrapped in delusion. While they imitate the life of monks, saying, "We shall be free from attachment," they enjoy the pleasures that offer themselves. Through wrong instruction, the would-be sages trouble themselves for pleasures. Thus they sink deeper and deeper in delusion, and cannot get to this, nor to the opposite shore.
Those who are freed from attachment to the world and its pleasures reach the opposite shore. Subduing desire by desirelessness, he does not enjoy the pleasures that offer themselves. Desireless, giving up the world and ceasing to act, he knows and sees and has no wishes because of his discernment. He is called houseless. But on the contrary, he suffers day and night, works in the right and the wrong time, desires wealth and treasures, commits injuries and violent acts, again and again directs his mind upon these injurious doings. For his own sake, to support or be supported by his relations, friends, the ancestors, gods, the king, thieves, guests, paupers, sramanyas, wandering monks.
Thus violence is done by these various acts, deliberately, out of fear, because they think it is for the expiation of sins or for some other hope. Knowing this, a wise man should neither himself commit violence by such acts, nor order others to commit violence by such acts, nor consent to the violence done by somebody else. This road to happiness has been declared by the noble ones, that a clever man should not be defiled by sin. Thus I say.
Third lesson. Frequently I have been born in a high family, frequently in a low one. I am not mean, nor noble, nor do I desire social preferment. Thus reflecting, who would brag about his family, or about his glory, or for what should he long?
Therefore a wise man should neither be glad nor angry about his lot. Thou shouldst know and consider the happiness of living creatures.
Life is dear to many who own fields and houses, having acquired dyed and colored clothes, jewels, earrings, gold, and women, they become attached to these things. And a fool who longs for life and worldly-minded laments that for these worldly goods, penance, self-restraint, and control do not avail, will ignorantly come to grief.
Those who are of a steady conduct do not desire this wealth. Knowing birth and death, one should firmly walk the path, i.e. right conduct, and not wait for old age to commence a religious life, for there is nothing inaccessible for death. All beings are fond of life, like pleasure, hate pain, shun destruction, like life, long to live. To all, life is dear.
Having acquired it, that is wealth, employing bipeds and quadrupeds, gathering riches in the three ways, whatever his portion will be, small or great, he will desire to enjoy it. Then at one time his manifold savings are a large treasure. Then at another time his heirs divide it, or those who are without a living steal it, or the king takes it away, or it is ruined in some way or other, or it is consumed by the conflagration of the house. Thus a fool doing cruel deeds which benefit another will ignorantly come thereby to grief.
This certainly has been declared by the sage. They do not cross the flood, nor can they cross it. They do not go to the next shore, nor can they go to it. They do not go to the opposite shore, nor can they go to it. And though hearing the doctrine, he does not stand in the right place. But the clever one who adopts the true faith stands in the right place, i.e., control. He who sees by himself needs no instruction, but the miserable, afflicted fool who delights in pleasures and whose miseries do not cease is turned round in the whirl of pains. Thus I say.
Fourth lesson. Then, after a time, he falls in sickness. Those with whom he lives together first grumble at him, and he afterwards grumbles at them. But they cannot help thee or protect thee, nor canst thou help them or protect them. Knowing pleasure and pain separately, they trouble themselves about the enjoyment of the external objects.
For some men in this world have such a character that they will desire to enjoy their portion, whether it be large or small, in the three ways. Then at one time it will be sufficiently large with many resources. Then at another time his heirs divide it, or those who have no living steal it, or the king takes it away, or it is ruined in some way or other, or it is consumed by the conflagration of the house. Thus a fool doing cruel acts comes ignorantly to grief.
Wisely reject hope and desire, and extracting that thorn that is pleasure, thou shouldst act rightly. People who are enveloped by delusion do not understand this. He who gathers wealth will perhaps not have the benefit of it.
Thus spake the hero. Be careful against this great delusion. The clever one should have done with carelessness by considering death in tranquility, and that the nature of which is decay, viz. The body. These pleasures, look, will not satisfy thee. Therefore have done with them. Sage, look, this is the great danger. It should overcome none whomsoever. He is called a hero who is not vexed by the hardships caused by control. He should not be angry because the householder gives him little. If turned off, he should go. Thou shouldst conform to the conduct of the sages. Thus I say.
Fifth lesson. That for this, that is pleasure, the wants of the world should be supplied by bad injurious doings, for one's own sons, daughters, daughters-in-law, kinsmen, nurses, kings, male and female servants, for the sake of hospitality, of supper and breakfast, the accumulation of wealth is effected.
This is here for the enjoyment of some men, but a wise man exerting himself, houseless, noble, of noble intellect, of noble perception, recognizes the proper moment for all actions. He should not accept, nor cause others to accept, or permit them to accept, anything unclean. Free from uncleanliness, he should wander about.
Being not seen in buying and selling, he should not buy, nor cause others to buy, nor consent to the buying of others. This mendicant who knows the time, the strength of himself, the measure of all things, the practice, the occasion for begging, etc., the conduct, the religious precepts, the true condition of the donor or hearer, who disowns all things not requisite for religious purposes, who is under no obligations, he proceeds securely on the road to final liberation, after having cut off both love and hate.
Clothes, alms bowls, blankets, brooms, property, straw mats. With regard to these things, he should know what is unclean. When he receives food, he should know the quantity required. This has been declared by the Revered One. He should not rejoice in the receipt of a gift, nor be sorry when he gets nothing. Having got much, one should not store it away. One should abstain from things not requisite for religious purposes. With a mind different from that of common people, a seer abandons these things. This is the road taught by the noble ones, well acquainted with which one should not be defiled by sin. Thus I say.
Pleasures are difficult to reject. Life is difficult to prolong. That man, certainly, who loves pleasures, is afflicted by their loss, is sorry in his heart, leaves his usual ways, is troubled, suffers pain. The far-sighted one, who knows the world, knows its inferior part, hell, its upper part, heaven, its sidelong part, the state of brute beasts. He who knows the relation of human affairs, that is, that he who desires for the world is always turned round in the samsara, cycle of reincarnation, is called among mortals a hero who liberates those who are fettered.
As the interior of the body is loathsome, so is the exterior. As the exterior, so is the interior. In the interior of the body, he perceives the foul interior humors. He observes their several courses or eruptions. A well-informed man, knowing and renouncing the body and pleasures, should not eat his saliva. He should not oppose himself to the current of knowledge. Certainly, that man who engages in worldly affairs, who practices many tricks, who is bewildered by his own doings, acts again and again on that desire which increases his unrighteousness.
Hence, the above has been said for the increase of this life. A man addicted to pleasures acts as if immortal and puts great faith in pleasure. But when he perceives that this body sustains pains, he cries in his ignorance, "Therefore keep in your mind what I say." A heretic professes to cure the love of pleasure, while he kills, cuts, strikes, destroys, chases away, resolves to do what has not been done before. To whom he applies the cure, enough of the fool's affection, or he who has the cure applied, is a fool. This does not apply to the houseless. Thus I say. We enjoyed your company for today's episode of Between Master and Disciples. Join us again next Thursday for part two of the excerpts of the second and third lectures from the first book of Jainism's Akaranga Sutra. Now, please stay tuned to Supreme Master Television for Animal World, Our Co-Inhabitants, up next right after Noteworthy News. May heaven's blessings fill your life with happiness, love, and harmony.
For more details, please visit www.suprememastertv.com/BMD.